This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
We're going to jump into a conversation, and I think this is just a social pulse check for us. And this one is on the duty that social investors need to play in the education space and what social investors need to do or be considering right now, particularly considering that early childhood development centers are currently at a threat of dying out, considering that they were not functional during the lockdown. We are joined in this conversation by Shamiso Chiteme, who is a social investment specialist at Chikululu Social Investment. Shamiso, good morning.
Morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
No, I'm okay.
Good. I believe that this is a very long-standing conversation and we need to get right into the guts of it. Thank you so much for joining me this morning to unpack it.
Thank you for having me.
Definitely. So firstly, I'm saying your name right. Let's just get that out of the way, right?
Yes, you said it right.
Awesome. So here's where we need to start. And I think this for me is where a lot of people might have a misconception. What is the role of ECDs in South Africa?
Well, early childhood development, firstly, let me start with the period. It's from the age of conception to school going age, which is the age of five. Mm-hmm. So early childhood development plays a critical role in a child's life because this is where all the physical, the social, and the cognitive skills of children are starting to develop. So you find a situation where if a child is developed during the ages of 0 to 5, the brain development is highest at the age of 0 to 2. Mm-hmm. So after 5 years of age, obviously the brain development starts to get lower and lower. So you find that the highest, what we call the highest returns of investment, is between 0 to 5. Because if you invest more in early childhood development, it means that the turnover effect is that a child will definitely then be able to produce skilled labor in the future. Mm. But if we don't invest in early childhood development, children are already behind. So you find that if children are not receiving the proper education, the proper care from 0 to 5, already when they get to grade R and grade 1, they're behind. And they still keep being behind, even from primary to high school. And you find out the results of something like matric, if you track them down to where it all went wrong, normally it all goes wrong during the period of 0 to 5.
Mm-hmm. And in the instance where parents choose to not invest time or sending their children to early childhood development centers, what is the detriment there? I know of a lot of parents who will believe that their children are too young to send them out of home, or just don't believe in the notion of, as we call them, creche.
Yes. So obviously there's a lot of awareness that we need to do in terms of that, because a lot of parents think that at 0 to 5, children would just be okay. Mm-hmm. But you'll find that children are not receiving stimulation at home. So you're not playing with the child. You're not teaching the child the proper skills that are necessary to equip them to grade 1. So you know that from 3 to 5, there's already a curriculum in early childhood development that they have to follow. So by the time they get to grade 1, the assumption is that they've already done the curriculum from the ages of 3 to 5. So parents are actually not aware that there actually is a curriculum that teaches the children necessary skills that equip them to go to grade R and to grade 1. So they think that, no, if we just take my child and they play or they watch TV the whole day, they'll be fine. But you'll find that, no, they're actually not receiving the proper stimulation, because in creche, they learn the basics, the developmental skills that they need in order for them to then go to grade 1. So if a parent is able to teach their own child within the home with the necessary resources like toys, educational toys, not just any other toys, but educational toys, and obviously receiving the proper nutrition, because obviously you can't just learn and not receive a proper diet, the proper diet in order for you to thrive as well. So it all goes hand in hand together, nutrition and obviously stimulation for early learning, which is what we're trying to emphasize in South Africa, because it's very critical for children to receive that. And also to receive the proper social skills. Children need to learn proper social etiquette in order for them to be able to thrive, and obviously to reduce situations of violence in the future. Children need to be taught all of these things at a very young age, not when they're older.
And the reason I bring in the notion of creche, is because a lot of parents do believe that early childhood development centers are to stand in for babysitting, where if they have to go to work, someone must take care of their child. And just from, you know, what you've said so far, we get to learn that there's way more. There's so much more to ECDs than just babysitting your children. I'll tell you a very personal story, Shamiso. I went to what we call creche back in the day, and that preschool was located very close to home. And I'm saying close to home as in it was a literal stone throw away from home. And when you bring in the issue of nutrition there, I do remember that I don't remember much about the learning part. I do remember the food, because I got into a scandal at some point where when we were returning plates back to the kitchen, we had to stand in a queue. And I don't know what the young man who was in front of me did, or, you know, the young boy, that's a young boy at this point, did to me. But I got into a fight, and it happens that this child was the teacher's son. And I got into a lot of trouble and decided to run home, because I can run home, and never went back. And no one in the family forced me to go back, because I don't think we saw value in, except being child, you know, being child minders, I don't think people see much of an educational value to sending your child to an ECD center, right? But while we're on that, we know that South Africa struggles right now, and stats are out that majority of kids who are in grade four already, grade four is you are 8, 9, 10, I think, that a majority of these children are reading without comprehension. What role does an ECD center play in correcting that phenomena that South Africa is currently facing?
So with reading and writing, those skills actually start off within the period of 0 to 5. This is where you, in early childhood development, this is where you learn the basics of reading, writing, and being able to communicate. Even math skills. So you learn a lot of numeracy and literacy skills in early childhood development through play. So you find that things like building blocks, there are a lot of skills and a lot of development that is going towards playing, but playing with proper resources. So you find that by the time a child is able to go to grade one, they're able to recognize their name, they're able to say the alphabet, they're able to recognize symbols. Because remember, if the brain is developing really fast from the period of 0 to 5, it means that children are grasping a lot of concepts that they'll be able to develop by the time they get to grade four. So even the art of writing, you know, they get taught that in early in ECD centers, the art of developing, like looking at shapes like A, B, C, looking at how that looks like, being able to write that, being able to understand. Because in South Africa, we face challenges of children who are only able to speak one language, like, for example, isiZulu, but are not able to grasp that the same word in isiZulu is the same meaning in English, you know. That switch is a lot, you know, a lot of children struggle with that. But these are the things that you learn within ECD centers, that something in isiZulu will mean the same thing in English. It's not two different separate things. And those are the kind of fundamental things that they learn in ECD centers, because children learn a lot and they're grasping a lot in 0 to 5. And this is the period that we actually need to take advantage and really build up our children. Because right now we're really suffering in terms of producing skilled labor. And a lot of people think that by investing in tertiary education, that's where all the money should be pumped in. But if you look at stats in other countries, in developed countries, you know, they deal with early childhood development and they take it very seriously. And they pump in a lot of money in terms of ensuring that children receive the necessary skills that are required to get them to grade one. So you'll find that in developed countries, they don't have a problem with literacy and a problem with numeracy, because they dealt with it at this level.
True. Which makes a lot of sense. And I say this because you've seen on social media where, you know, young parents will post videos of, you know, a young child of theirs who can count 1 to 100 in 4 different languages, and this child has not even clocked 4 years or 3 years yet. That comes to prove that the mind is developing much faster and grasping a lot more information or processing a lot more information at that age. Yet, like I said, in our cultures, and I don't want to necessarily say in black cultures, I want to believe that this might be, you know, happening in other places, but by virtue of what I'm privileged to experience, in our own society, immediate societies, we do not put much value to ECD centers by virtue of thinking that they're child minding facilities are not necessarily educational facilities. The little that is being done there, and I'm saying little in spaces where this ECD center might not be fully developed or to the point that we want it to be, but the little that is going on there, even at a social skills level, is very beneficial to the child as they go. And I really, really appreciate the conversation we're having, because this then gets us to a point where, Shami, so how do we get an ECD to be formed, to be registered, to be recognized by the Department of Education? What's the process there, and are these processes being followed?
In order to register with the Department of Social Development, obviously they need to have an NPO. So they need to register their center and name their center, whichever center they want to name it, and then they register as an NPO. Once they register as an NPO, they then go to the Department of Social Development, where they give them the norms and standards of ECD. So the basic, everything that they need in order for them to open the ECD center. So obviously, for you to open an ECD center, you need to have the health checks. It needs to be a safe environment and a conducive environment for children to learn. There needs to be access to water. There must be fencing. And obviously, the classrooms obviously must then be able to cater for the right amount of children. And once they do that, they obviously need to comply with a daily program. So there's a list of activities that you need to do that are in alignment with the DSD. So once you do that, Department of Social Development gives you a list, like a checklist of things that you need in order for you to then register with them. But obviously, we know that there's a lot of challenges with some people in vulnerable communities, some centers being able to comply with DSD standards, because obviously, I think the biggest challenge is in terms of health and safety. People just don't have enough resources in order to equip their centers, like they don't have enough toilets that comply with DSD, they don't have the right fencing. So you'll find that there's actually not a lot of registered centers. There are actually more unregistered centers in South Africa than there are registered centers, because a lot of centers, in terms of affordability, they can't afford to obviously comply with DSD norms and standards. So this is where your NGOs play a critical role and your donors play a critical role in terms of providing funding to unregistered centers to be able to comply with norms and standards of DSD. And there are well-known organizations like Ilifa Labantwana, which is, you know, their main goal is to trying to ensure that children access the DSD subsidy grant. Because the ultimate goal for you to become registered with DSD is that children within your ECD centers are able to get a subsidy grant, to qualify to get a subsidy grant. So Ilifa really works hard in driving this in order for children to be able to access DSD funding, as well as to help ECD centers to get, you know, DSD funding. So you'll find that obviously the NGO sector, you know, it plays a critical role in ensuring that, you know, because we know that if children are able to get into ECD centers that are registered by DSD, obviously it means that they get a proper meal, they comply with DSD norms and standards in terms of learning.
And you know, in as much as we are aware that, you know, there's a number of these centers that are not registered, we still do appreciate the effort at the very least, to get to a certain point of having as many children as possible enrolled in these centers for the sake of their own educational futures and social futures, right? But let's not forget that there are scandals that have come up. I think the one that that hurt me the most was the one that came out in the news, I think, a couple of years ago, if I'm correct, where because a child was being unruly or no one had the time to sort of deal with this child individually, they were chained to something. I can't remember what it was. This then blew up in the news. How do we get these spaces or these centers to have trained, equipped teachers beyond just the registration part, but trained and equipped teachers that can actually watch the children, teach the children and guide the children to a point where we know that we're investing real money and real time to getting these children to come out of these ECD centers well equipped for grade one?
Yes, I think this is where parents play a critical role, because parents need to hold teachers accountable. And this is one of the challenges we have in South Africa, is that parents just drop off their children. You're not aware of what your child is learning within these ECD centers. And you'll find, like, let me give you an example, in private school, you know, you find that parents that have children in private schools hold teachers accountable. Obviously, they're paying a lot of money.
Yes.
You find that they know step by step what their child is doing in ECD centers. They make sure that children do their homework. They really hold teachers accountable. But if we look at in vulnerable communities, parents just drop off their children because they're not aware of what actually happens within the ECD centers. Mm. And then you'll find that a lot of challenges are happening within the ECD centers, or a child is being not properly treated, and they're not aware of it. And they only then find out when it becomes a really big issue.
Mm.
But this is where parents really, really need to play a critical role in a child's life. Because remember, it's not the ECD center's role only to take care of a child. The ECD center is supposed to assist the parent. So they're supposed to co-teach the child. So if a parent is not teaching the child at home and expecting the child to then be to receive everything in ECD centers, this is where we're getting it wrong. But if parents become more accountable and they hold teachers accountable, you'll find that the standards of teachers will then become better, as opposed to how it is now, that obviously a child just gets dropped off, that's it, and they get picked up, they don't do their homework, they get home, they don't do anything, you're not aware of what's happening in the ECD center, then you only find out when it becomes such a huge and a big issue, and then you try and figure out where did I get it all wrong. It's all about accountability. It's all about the parents becoming more involved and invested in their children's future.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what you're mentioning right now, then brings us back to a question of parenting and parenting properly, where we relinquish the duties of parenting and educating to the establishments we take our children to. And this takes me back to my own days in the education sector, where the team that I worked with established what we call the Education Holy Trinity. The Holy Trinity of Education is making sure that these three parties are fully involved and fully accountable for what their duty is in the learning of, in the dispensation of education, rather. And this trinity is the teacher, the student, and the parent, where for the most part in the past, yes, I think education was always centered around the student, and secondly, the teacher who's then dispensing this education to the student. The parent was never, ever compelled to be involved. But even with the changing times that we live in the very fast developing technological times that we live in, the parent needs to be very, very involved, in the sense that if the school is saying children should not watch certain programs because of whatever reason, or they should rather watch certain programs because they will learn a little bit more from this, and the parent does not take accountability for that when the child gets home, it becomes a drop in that Holy Trinity that I'm talking about. Let's just track it back a little bit, Shemi. So we keep talking about ECD centers preparing students for grade one. What is that grade R part? Because I know you can enroll your child into grade one, but you don't really have to have enrolled them into anything before that. Whereas grade R is part of the primary school sector. Do ECDs take care of the needs of a grade R student?
Yes, you'll find that some ECD centers do have grade R in them, and then some grade R programs are then, a part of primary school. But then with grade R, it's just it's that period where you're being taught and trying to get ready for grade one. So that also has its own curriculum where they're now perfecting and polishing the skills that you need. And then they're checking your readiness in order for you to get to grade one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also quite a critical role because obviously, with children, you need to know if your child is ready for grade one or not. And you need to know if they're ready, And this is where parents need to also be able to check, because sometimes a child is not ready to go into grade one and they need to repeat grade R. But you'll find that, they just get pushed through the system. Our children keep getting pushed through the system. They're not ready for grade two, but they still get pushed to grade two. They're not ready for grade seven. By the time they get to matric, they were never ready to begin with, And this is where we then, start to really fall short.
It makes sense, but in a huge contrast, somehow the government doesn't want to push the kids forward this year after missing months of learning. Yet we've seen them push kids through grade one, we've seen them push kids through grade two, and a couple other grades. But this year, we must resuscitate the academic calendar somehow under such stringent conditions. Let's maybe talk on. Now that we're touching on the fact that students have lost, several months of learning, let's talk about the COVID-19 pandemic and its effect on ECD centers, and you know, we're talking about jobs that are at risk here. We're talking about ECD centers that might shut down or have shut down already. To what extent has COVID-19 affected early childhood development centers?
Oh, it's affected them to a large extent, because obviously we know that ECD centers were forced to close during level 5 and level 4, and that obviously there was a court case in favor of reopening of ECD centers. Mm-hmm. But then now we find the challenges that obviously in order for you to reopen your ECD center, you need to comply with BSD checklist. You know, this means having PPE equipment. So a lot of ECD centers can't afford PPE, you know, mm-hmm. because obviously of financial constraints. Parents are not paying fees because, you know, we know that right now a lot of people are failing, are suffering from obviously loss of jobs. And so people are not, parents are not able to pay fees at this time. So we find that ECD centers right now are on the brink of obviously collapsing because parents are not paying fees. Unregistered centers are not being subsidized by government. They can't afford to reopen their centers. So this is where we have such a big, big challenge. And this ultimately then, if 175,000 jobs are at risk, the turnover effect is that it could impact on 1 million children within South Africa. Because if these children are not able to go into ECD centers, then it has obviously a negative impact, because a lot of children, like, receive their nutrition within the ECD centers. The main meal of the day comes from ECD centers. So we know that right now there's going to be a really big increase in malnutrition, because children are going hungry. And we know that children are going hungry right now. Mm. And obviously, you know, we look at stimulation for early learning. Children are not learning. They're not learning at home, and developmental delays. And, you know, obviously with children, you can't stop them from developing. You can't say, no, they'll develop next year, because they already keep falling behind. Mm. And obviously, you know, there are a lot of cases in terms of the vulnerability of children. If you look at the news, children are just being killed left, right, and center, you know, or drowning, or, you know, no one was taking care of the child, so they drowned here, or children have gone missing. So there's been an increase in that during the pandemic. So you'll find that with ECD, it's a spillover effect. It affects the ECD practitioners, but it's also affecting the children as well. So it's a whole ECD ecosystem that's actually then being affected, you know, people who provide services to children and people who benefit from services that are provided to them.
Mm. We are currently in conversation with Shamiso Chideme, who is helping us unpack a conversation around the impact of COVID-19 on early childhood development centers, and just beckoning, you know, towards social investors to maybe focus a little bit on these centers, considering the amount of jobs that have been lost, the impact on the children themselves. Diamond, the class consciousness Afro expert on Twitter, says kids need proper stimulation at home with toys and to have a social etiquette. This is too deep for midnight oil. This conversation must be invested as a campaign. And he's also laughing at my own crash scandal. Listen, we also our own fights as we're growing up. And my battle was that one. I was not going to be bullied in a preschool. I was too young. But give us a call on 0861-987-000 and let us hear what your thoughts are on the importance of early childhood development and whether money needs to be funneled even more, considering the pandemic that we've been through over the past couple of months with the closure of a few ECDs. Shami, so here's what concerns me right now. Right, we know that a lot of parents have been unable to pay ECD fees over the lockdown, with things slightly opening up. Are we seeing, you know, kids going back to ECDs? Are we seeing, you know, parents, and understanding that people have, you know, debt holidays they have to sort of pay back. There's a number of priorities that parents might have to still take care of financially. Are we seeing children going back to ECDs? Are we seeing people going back to work at ECD centers? Is there any hope for us before we go to the drawing board and ask for social investment? Are we seeing a natural return to what normal used to look like?
No, not in the immediate future, because obviously parents right now cannot afford to take their children to ECD centers. So we know that children are not going to be accessing ECD services. Mm. And we know that because of financial constraints, even if we get to level 1, it doesn't mean that parents will still be able to afford to take their children to ECD centers. And even if ECD centers do open, you know, if parents are not able to pay fees, then obviously it has a negative impact on ECD practitioners' ability to sustain their ECD centers. So now, you know, we fought so hard to provide access to children to receive quality early learning. We fought hard to get it put in the policy. We fought hard to get the president to actually announce the importance of early childhood development as a national priority. Mm-hmm. And now, obviously, the pandemic has put us two steps back because now, you know, children don't have a voice. So obviously they're not going to be protesting. They're not going to be saying, no, look at us, you know. So you know that government right now has shifted a lot of its priorities to other things because of the fact that children have no voice. So we then, as social investors, as parents, as people who are concerned about their children's future, they need to be the voice of the voiceless.
I definitely hear you, Shamiso. And before we even get into the role that social investors need to play or can play in the early childhood development arena, who are these people? If we say as a community, let's look at social investors, who are we talking about and what has their role been before?
So when you're talking about social investors, we're talking about donors, you know, people from the private sector that actually want to play a role in terms of assisting children or funding in terms of, you know, like making sure that children actually receive quality early learning services. Well, so not only private sector, we're also looking towards government because government can also play a role in terms of reallocating funds towards ECD centers. So social investment, or it's just anyone who's able to contribute financially to the betterment of early childhood development.
So in this case, now that we know who we are talking about, what is the approach? What is the ask? Whenever you approach someone to ask for money, you need to first present who you are and what exactly it is that you're looking for. We've spoken about, you know, jobs being lost, children not being developed at, you know, at the time that we need them to be. But what is the ask?
Well, the ask is for donors to provide what we call stopgap funding, which is just temporarily funding in order to assist ECD centers as well as NGOs to be able to provide services to children. And also for, you know, social investors to start investing in parent behavioral change programs. So this is actually trying to emphasize early learning within the home. Because if we know that children are not going to go to ECD centers because of financial constraints, then we need to invest more in actually equipping parents to be able to teach their children within their homes, and also trying to provide services that children can be able to learn if they're not in ECD centers. Things that what we call like non-center-based services, which are like your play groups, your childminders, trying to invest in anything that enables a child to be able to receive early learning as well as nutrition.
Definitely hear you. And just in closing there, Shamiso, let's talk about the jobs that are at risk of being lost or might have been lost already, and talk about the people who are mostly affected. We know who childminders usually are. Is this group of people similar to the people losing jobs at early childhood development centers?
Yes. So the majority of people losing jobs are Black females, you know, because in early childhood development, this is the majority of the people that actually own ECD centers. Obviously, it's an informal setup, so they don't qualify for UIF funding. So obviously, they're solely dependent on parents' fees, as well as, you know, those that get subsidy from DSD. But it's not enough, you know, and it's still not enough for them to reopen. So that's why we say 175,000 jobs are at risk. Because these people cannot afford to open their centers. They can't afford PPE, you know. So they really do need our assistance. They need some sort of either government relief or other forms of funding to be enabled to continue to provide services to children. And that's why there's a lot of protests from ECD centers, because it's their form of livelihoods as well. In as much as they are providing services, they also need to survive, you know, as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Emiso, for joining me this morning. I definitely hear where that cry is coming from, considering the importance that we have laid out just on the show, and evidently in just the, you know, the kind of kids that come out of quality, you know, ECD centers, that this is something that we all need to look into. And I think, in as much as we're saying social investors, could be private sector, could be government, I think our neighbors, if you live up the road from a preschool or a creche, as we want to call them, lend a helping hand. If you have a few extra rands to give, please do the right thing. Just do the right thing. So thank you so much for helping us unpack this conversation.
Thank you so much for having me.
Definitely. That was Shamiso Chideme, who was helping us unpack a conversation around the impact of COVID-19 on early childhood development centers, with the awareness that jobs are being lost, ECD centers are closing, meaning your children are not going to be taken care of adequately as they need or deserve to be taken care of. But again, like I said, let this social investment plight not only fall on private sector and the government, let it be a social call for our society as well, that, you know, if you live close by, if you know of people who are taking children to creche or have stopped because they cannot afford to, or because that the, you know, the preschool itself is closed, lend a helping hand where you can, and let's be a collaborative and supportive group of people, you know, not only for the short run, but, you know, for the general opening of things.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.